Olive trees and olive oil have been an integral part of the human experience for thousands of years. The olive was native to Asia Minor and spread from Iran, Syria, and Palestine to the rest of the Mediterranean basin more than 6,000 years ago. Olives have been found in Egyptian tombs dating from 2000 BC. Since the ancient days in Greece, the olive branch has been a metaphor for peace, and the Olympic winners were crowned with a wreath of olive branches. Greeks and Romans used the olive branch as a symbol of reconciliation, signifying the end of conflicts and the pursuit of harmony. The phrase "to extend an olive branch" still resonates today as a gesture of peace and goodwill. Franciscan monks planted olive trees at their California missions, and some of the trees are still producing fruit with olive oil. Unlike wine, fresher is better, with an optimum shelf life of no more than 2 years. As an aside, there's an old brick two-story commercial building on the corner of Higuera and Choro Streets in downtown San Luis Obispo. Built in 1925, the land was originally the site of San Luis Obispo Mission's olive tree orchard, planted back in the 1790s by Mission Padres. One day, about 40 years ago, I was standing on a sidewalk admiring the building's architectural detailing along the second floor facade. A gentleman, who must have been at least 80 years old at the time, said, "Look up, and you will notice a repeat motif of masonry embossed blocks with detailed olive branches running the length of the building." He said he had been friends with the architect who designed the building back in the 1920s. The architect had told him that they included the homage to honor the site's previous locale as the mission's olive orchard. Following a move from France, Clotilde and Yves Julien opened Olea Farms in Templeton, California back in 2002 when they discovered the California Central Coast was graced with an ideal climate for growing olive oils and producing award-winning oil. To discover the backstory of producing olive oil and how best to cook with olive oil, as well as insights about its incredible antioxidant health benefits, I met with Clotilde and Yves a while back before they sold Olea Farms to the current owners, Karen and Rick Grote. There are quite a few producers of olive oil on the California Central Coast today. We stopped in for a visit with one olive oil producer in Templeton, California, Victor Roberts, owner of Victor Hugo Winery located on El Pomar Road. Come along and join the conversation with Vic, followed by a conversation with Clotilde and Yves. I'm your host, Tom Wilmer. Right now, we're reporting from Templeton, California, and we're visiting with Vic Roberts, winemaker, and grows 80 acres of its own grapes. In addition, Vic, you got into olive oil. So you first planted olive trees with a great grand plan?
No, not at all. Actually, one of our neighbors who grows olive trees for oil. This was, quite a while ago, probably 25 plus years ago. Our son was in junior high. One of the neighbors came over with three Tuscan trees and said, "Oh, I had these extra. Do you want to plant them?" Kevin, our son, and I planted them, set some drip hose up on them to irrigate them while they were young. Those trees are now, 25 plus years old, still producing, of course, but we never thought much about them. We didn't do anything with them, kind of pruned them, didn't do much else. Probably 15, 16 years ago, one of our other neighbors came by from Olea Farms and looked at the trees and said, "You've got a lot of olives. What are you going to do with them?" And we said, probably nothing. You ought to spray them so you don't have olive fly. And if you want, you bring them over and we'll mill them for you for oil. And so we knew them because they liked their wines. We liked their oil. And so we would always trade wine for oil. So we were so happy with the oil we got from that first harvest. Then it became a hobby out of control. Planted another 175 plus trees on the other side of the house and winery here. Not all Tuscan, but primarily Arbequina, which of course is a Spanish cultivar. So we have now three different Tuscan varieties that constitute, probably 15% of the total. And then the rest is Arbequina, which is Spanish. So
growing the trees, picking the olives is one thing, but then milling is a whole different.
It is, and some people would assume that, well, we have a press for our grapes. Can't we just do it that way? No, it doesn't work. So
it's a stone mill, right?
It is. Olive mill production is very specialized. And then this, they've put together a mobile line that actually has a centrifuge on the truck. So
they come to you.
Well, if we were a little bigger, they would come to us.
Okay.
So we actually pick our olives and find where they're processing locally. Mm-hmm. But we can get our olives milled the same day that we're picking them, which of course is exactly what you want to do, because, you know, we have extra virgin olive oil and that's what we bottle, and we now sell a little bit here at Victor Hugo.
Don't do retail sales.
No, there's no distribution. You either buy it here at the winery or you don't get it. So it's all right here. And that designation is a measure of oxidation or spoilage. Mm-hmm. So extra virgin, of course, is the most stringent. What that reflects is any damaging that has happened during fruit harvesting, transport, and milling prior to putting the oil in the bottle.
So there's a fragility to the little berries.
Absolutely. You know, the other thing, I mentioned olive fly earlier. It's an insect that doesn't hurt the tree, but it likes to burrow into the ripening olives when they first start to get soft and lay eggs. And so that when you break the surface of the olive, other things start to grow in there. And then, of course, you would have things growing that you don't want in your olive oil. So the quality of the oil suffers.
To discover your olive oil again, you have to come out to your winery.
Absolutely. And we offer people when they're doing their wine tasting, if they would like to taste the olive oil, it's available here on site, and we will offer them tasting. So what we also did is, as part of our research to continue expanding our knowledge, is we took a trip to Spain in 2023, visited orchards there, checked out how they were handling their olives. And actually, the Arbequina that we sampled there in Spain was fairly similar to what we're growing right here as far as a flavor profile. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Did you learn anything, any epiphanous surprises?
No, there weren't any surprises. It just kind of reinforced what we'd already picked up. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we'd spent a lot of time conversing with the owners of Alea, who kind of got us started down this whole olive oil path. They had a lot of experience in the industry, but it just reinforced some of the things we were doing.
To learn more and to sample your olive oil, you'd come out here, which is where?
We're located just east of Templeton, 2850 El Pomar Drive. We do wine tastings by appointment on weekends only, Saturdays and Sundays. You know, Monday through Friday is vineyard work, cellar work, barrel work. We don't have any employees for the winery, so that's how it functions.
You do, so you don't get paid.
Yes, exactly.
And you have a website?
We do, victorhugowinery.com, so check it out.
Awesome. Vic Roberts, thanks for sharing.
My pleasure, Tom.
Olive oil has been an integral part of the culinary experience of Europeans for thousands of years. I'm Tom Wilmer. Come along and join me as we visit with Clotilde and Eve Julian, the owners of Alea Farm in Templeton, California, where we'll learn exactly what first press extra virgin olive oil actually means. We'll talk about government regulations in Europe versus America, the antioxidant benefits, cooking with olive oil, and the different varieties. Clotilde and Eve Julian. How many trees do you have?
So we have 1,200 trees here on the property. But we also have ranches where we purchase fruit local. We do bottling. We do everything that's involved in the olive oil. We do the milling. We are co-owners of a mill on wheels, which is a mobile processing olive mill. Everything from start to finish in the olive oil.
The mill is an expensive proposition, and that's one reason why you have one and other people don't. You go to them and mill their harvest.
Owning a mill is a great expense for a tool that's only going to be working at the best 3 months a year. We go from orchard to orchard as the fruit comes off the tree, goes into the mill, less than 2 hours approximately. The olive oil is going to be coming out. So the olive oil is going to be extremely fresh.
Much unlike fine red wine, you do not want to put your olive oil away and put it in a library. You want to use it right away.
Yes. It's about a 2-year shelf life.
Doesn't get better.
Oh, it doesn't get better.
How does the consumer know when one goes to the grocery store how fresh the olive oil is they see on the shelf.
Usually what happens on a good olive oil should be written the harvest date. So knowing the harvest date, you know that a good olive oil has a 2-year shelf life, then you know if the oil is fresh or not fresh. The main problem are going to be the oils coming from overseas, from Europe or North Africa. That's where it may be a little tricky to find a good olive oil.
Is that because there is no government regulations on what is in the olive oil bottle?
There is some regulation, but the regulation in North Africa are going to be different than the regulation in Europe. Let's take an example from an olive oil coming from Europe. Let's say on the label you are going to see extra virgin olive oil. Well, in Europe you can put on your label extra virgin olive oil even though it's not 100% extra virgin olive oil.
Is there a minimal percentage?
Not really. We heard it was about 25 to 30% extra virgin olive oil. It means that there is 70% of crappy something else.
Everybody talks about, we all see on the label, extra virgin olive oil. What does that mean?
If you see extra virgin olive oil from an oil from California or from the United States, you know that it's 100% extra virgin.
Is that first press only?
It's first cold press, meaning that you get the fruit, crush them, work the paste for about 30, 45 minutes. You are allowed to heat the paste up to 25 degrees centigrade. That's the regulation for 100% extra virgin olive oil. And then you centrifuge the paste and get the juice. The olive oil should be the juice of the fruit, and that's the best olive oil that you can get.
What is the junk filler stuff you're talking about that they add to supposedly extra virgin?
It can be something else than olive oil. It can be pomace oil, it can be canola oil, or what they also do, they heat the paste. And when they heat the paste of the olives, then you get more juice. But the quality of the juice is not the same. All the polyphenols are gone, all the good stuff is gone, and there is almost no more antioxidant. So what you want to do to make a good olive oil, you want to first cold press. You press the fruit, you don't heat the paste, get the juice, and you don't add any solvent, you don't add anything else. Just get the juice of the fruit.
In America, in California, what do people know? What can they expect without having to guess?
The rules that we have in California is if you make olive oil, they're very strict. It can only be 100% extra virgin. We're not allowed to do anything else, and I think that's very important because everybody has the same quality olive oil, so whether you buy a California Central Coast, or if you buy from another area, you know California olive oil rules are 100% extra virgin. And with that olive oil, you can cook and bring it up to high temperatures. You can make French fries. That's something that we do as part of education. We have people come and we do French fries, deep fried French fries in olive oil, and people can taste and see for themselves that the olive oil is not burning and we're making very good French fries.
And you're talking to 400 to 500 degrees Fahrenheit?
Maybe not 500, but the French fries are at 365, something like that. Pretty much you can go up to 400 degrees with the olive oil, but there's nothing much that you cook at that temperature anyway. But at least you have a good quality olive oil. It makes your French fries, as odd as it may seem, or any vegetable, it coats the outside and makes it nice and crispy. And inside you have the texture of the potato, which is definitely much nicer than biting into a French fry and having a bunch of oil grease coming out into your mouth all over. That's really pretty disgusting.
Let's dig a little deeper on cooking with olive oil. There's a lot of misconception. Some people say, I can't cook with olive oil because it smokes and it burns. So that's an obvious example of a non-extra virgin?
Yes, so a non-extra virgin olive oil is going to burn at a low temperature. Unfortunately, most of the education that's been going around, people say that they can't cook with extra virgin olive oil because it burns at a low temperature. But if it is 100% extra virgin, it's not a problem. We have a lot of our local chefs and restaurants that are using our olive oils and that are very conscious and very aware that they can cook and bring it up and saute, fry, you name it, they can do it. You can do pastry with olive oil.
Let's talk a little bit. She was talking about arbequina. There are different types of berries making different types of olive oil. Tell us about the different types that somebody would find and why you would choose what.
Well, you can compare a good olive oil to good wines. A Merlot is going to be different than a Cab. Arbequina is going to be different than a Coronecchi. An Arbosana is going to be different than a Tuscan olive, than Sevillano, Mission. There is about 1,000 different varietals of trees, and they all have their different qualities and different tastes. Depends on what you like.
talk for a moment about your two or three most popular olive oils?
So the first one is going to be the European style. I call it European style because we like to do a late harvest. It's going to make an oil very mild and very fruity. We like to use this oil to do any kind of salad dressing because it's so fruity that even if you add vinegar or mustard to make your salad dressing, you are still going to have the nice fruitiness of the taste of the olive oil. Then we have the Frantoio. The Frantoio, for example, it's Tuscan tree, and the Frantoio is going to be more grassy, more bitter, more pungent, and we really like the Frantoio. It's a very generous olive oil, and we like it on winter dishes like pasta, seafood. Then we are going to go with the Spanish one, like the Arbequina, for example. The Arbequina, fresh-cut grass taste. Arbequina, it's a spring in your mouth. Arbequina is going to be very delicate oil, very nice balance, a little fruitiness, a little pungency, a little bitterness, and a nice nutty aftertaste. Arbequina, you can use it on everything. You can drink it. It's such a wonderful oil. Arbequina on baked potato, arbequina on mashed potato, arbequina on a nice tomato salad, feta cheese, sea salt. Are you hungry now?
Yes, it's working. You were talking earlier about olive oil, ideally, and again, it's preference, but not dominating, bringing out the flavors of the food rather than the olive oil itself.
I think that's very important because when you're eating food, it's like wine. You want everything to go together. You don't want something overpowering something else. So we were talking earlier before we were doing this interview, talking about a grilled steak. When you have a lot of things that are added to the steaks, like the peppercorns and all those, you don't really get the taste of the meat. So with the olive oil, you want to do the same thing. You want to use your olive oil to help cook your food and bring some nice flavors to it, but you don't want it to overpower. Like if you're eating a tomato salad or something like that, you don't want to be eating olive oil with tomatoes. You want the tomatoes and the olive oil to go together and bring in nice flavors. And like a tomato salad with the arbequina, like Eve was saying, it's an easy dish, extremely healthy. You have your tomato salad, you make it, you put your olive oil on it, you put the sea salt, you put it aside, you cook your rice when it's hot, you put your tomatoes with the little bit of the olive oil that's in the bottom of the dish on it, and it's just an amazing feel because you get the taste of the tomatoes with the olive oil, the rice. It's just really nice and simple and healthy.
Speaking of healthy, let's talk specifically for a moment about the health benefits of olive oil, which there are many.
Well, the main thing with the olive oil are going to be the polyphenols. All the polyphenols are coming from when you are milling the olives. You don't want to add any water. You don't want to add any heat. So when you are extracting the oil, you are just extracting the oil and trying to keep all the polyphenols into the oil. So if you add water, then you are separating the oil from the water, and the water is going to wash out the polyphenols. So let's start with a good olive oil full of polyphenols. That's the antioxidant. That's where the shelf life is. So the benefits are just wonderful. Olive oil is bad cholesterol free. Olive oil is supposed to prevent coronary.
Coronary.
Yeah, just not coronary, but coronary.
Coronary heart disease, and that's certified by the FDA. It's very important, yes, with the cholesterol. It brings up the good cholesterol, brings down the bad cholesterol. It's just very healthy for your skin. Also, there's working information about helping with Alzheimer's and with cancer. Of course, all of these things are really important for people to use so that they get the good health benefits out of it.
So we should drink a shot every day then?
Pretty much. 2 tablespoons a day is given to prevent coronary heart disease. But you can use olive oil at breakfast on a muffin. Use it also on a bagel. Just drizzle a little bit of olive oil, some honey or jam. You'll see it's absolutely wonderful. Then you use it at lunch and you use it at dinner. You don't need any other fat in your house.
Can you think of a negative of olive oil?
No. Yes, there is something negative about olive oil, which is very interesting, is when you have it on your countertop, you have to be careful because when it's granite, extra virgin olive oil only is going to make little marks on your countertop. I learned that the hard way.
Interesting. Okay, let's say I'm at a grocery store and I'm looking for an olive oil and all I find are European labels. How do I know what I'm getting?
You don't.
It doesn't matter whether it's France or Spain or anywhere.
Matter. It doesn't matter. You don't have the information. You don't know when it's been harvested most of the time, and you don't know how long it's been traveling, how it's been stored. You don't have anything on the label that indicates where it's been and what has happened to the olive oil. California olive oil, for the moment, it's still fairly new. Most of the growers are selling their olive oil here in California. From our farm, we ship to a lot of customers all over the United States, but we don't have our olive oil in stores all over the United States. We have several stores in Los Angeles and things like that, but California olive oil doesn't go anywhere, so you know that it's going to be really fresh. It's of the year for the majority, I would say for everybody, because we run out at the end of the season, so it's just a very fresh product, and you can be sure with California olive oil that you're going to get a good product.
Thank you guys so much for visiting. What a wonderful morning.
The new olive oil beats California and not Europe anymore. And don't forget,
don't depend on foreign oil.
I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Olea Farms in Templeton, California.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, iTunes, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
This is Roseanne Cash, and I'm sitting here with Tom Wilmer. Please support your local NPR station. I listen to WNYC in New York. In fact, NPR is all I listen to. If I didn't have NPR, I would feel like my lifeline to the world has been cut. So, yes, please support your local NPR station.